I'm going to begin with this story as a way of setting up really tonight's topic, which we've called the Who Factor, or becoming his portrait. All right. So when roughly, I think it was roughly 2003 or so, we sold our business. We had a financial planning business, and we had been in that space for about 15, 16, 17 years, something like that. And anyway, we sold the business, and we knew we were on a pathway toward some version of ministry. And on that pathway at one stage, even I sat at the top of somewhere called Mount Sugarloaf. Aileen knows Mount Sugarloaf very well. If any Nova Castrians or Newcastle people would know, it kind of sits above the Hunter, and we lit a fire. And anyway, I just really felt God say to me, because our business was called Wealth Partners, and I felt God say, David, don't want you to partner with wealth anymore. You need to partner with my kingdom. And I just knew that was a beginning point to just leave the business behind. So we sold our business, and then I had a period of time when, I forget, it might have been 6 weeks or something, when I didn't have to do anything particularly, and I decided I would go camping. So we went up to Scott's Head by myself, and I was just sort of hanging out with God. And it was in that moment I said to God, I don't really have a clue who I am anymore. You know, the classic question that happens, and maybe it's us guys who more struggle with this, but if you're at a party or something social and someone says, well, you know, what do? You know, and it's kind of like, who are you? And so my answer for so many years had been, I'm in financial planning, you know, I'm a whatever. That was, but I couldn't say that anymore. And I really was struggling with identity. I was struggling to define myself. I was struggling to know who I was. So here's what happened in my kind of just, I'm with God and I'm sitting there up at Scott's Head, which is up north. And I felt God remind me of the time when Jesus said to his disciples, who do they say that I am? And Peter, or the disciples said, oh, you know, some say you're Elijah, some say you're this, some say you're a prophet. And then Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And then Peter actually answered and said, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But as I was recalling that story, I just felt like Jesus wanted me to turn that question around and say to him, well, who do you say that I am? Do you follow that? And I thought, wow, I've never really done that. And I wonder if that's a question I can ask. You know, I wonder if that is a thing. Or anyway, I just felt like I needed to ask that question. So here's how my thinking process went. I began to think, just like we were praying and worshiping, which I loved, you know, God is omnipresent. You know that definition? He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. And I began to think about this word omni, O-M-N-I. And I began to just in my own kind of thing of how I think, I thought, wow, you know what, I've heard about the snowflake. Have you guys heard about the snowflake? They reckon there's no two snowflakes that are the same. And I thought, wow, so God is omni, and what does that mean? And I began to think, well, it's like he's multifaceted. It's like if you actually were to try to put a number on the number of facets that is God, I think it would be an infinite number. Or even if it is a finite number, I figure there's enough of different facets of God that every single human being could carry one of those facets, and God is still so omni that there'd be more facets of him that are not covered. Yeah, do you follow that? But I thought to myself, that said, what if I carry a facet that no one else does, right? What if I'm like a snowflake? So I began to sort of think about and consider before God, you know what, I think I could ask you, who am I? So I in my story, this didn't happen straight away. I made a few trips to Scott's Head, and you know, and it was over probably a number of months. But I felt God give me, and this is not like a thing that I prescribe to you to do exactly. I'm actually suggesting tonight, by the way, that you ask God this question. But for me, it became three words that were the beginnings of the clues that I felt God was telling me who I was. See, here's the thing. I had done various leadership, you know, studies, and I'd done various personality things. I'd done counselling, and I'm aware there are various personality models. You know that, right? There's and the most complex I ever did was called Myers-Briggs. Anybody heard of the Myers-Briggs tool? And you know, and that told me that I was an INTP. But I began to think that I figure that the best personality tests in the world are not personal enough and customized enough to actually define me. I think I'm more special than that. And I began to think to myself, I get spiritual gifts, and I think that's absolutely a model to help define who I am. But also figure there's something, if I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, which is what the scriptures say that I am, and by the way, say that you are. Could it be possible that I'm actually so unique and so particular in how God's designed me that I actually carry some stuff that no one else does? And what if God would tell me that? So I began to ask him, and I got three words. And just in my story, they were the words create, communicate, and consult. And that became for me the beginning point for just thinking, oh, wow, I think you've said that to me, God. I could receive it. You know how when God says something to you, you know that you didn't think of it right then, and it's sort of in that. So here's what happened. A number of months later, in the church we were going to, and Aileen would know that we had a Bible college, and at one stage they said to me, "Oh, David, would you come and lecture?" Now, I thought to myself, I don't think I'm a lecturer. I don't feel like a lecturer. Lecturers to me, like the whole thought of lecturing, and please, if you're a lecturer or you want to be, I'm not. But to me, it was like, that's just not me. It's a little bit too, kind of boring and contained for me. And I don't think I'm a lecturer. I don't think I have that gift. But here's what the Holy Spirit led me to do. Because I said yes. But I parked around the block before my first lecture up the hill, and I said, "Lord, I don't feel like a lecturer. You've said I'm, you know, basically called to create, communicate, consult." So then I had this idea. What if, as I walk into the door of that building, just in my spirit, I'm going to say, "Lord, I'm called to create, communicate, and consult. I feel like that's how you've made me. I feel like that's actually what you will anoint, and I'm not going to be the other thing because that's not me. I'm not going to try to be something that I'm not. I'm just going to move in how I think you've made me in Jesus' name." So I just had my own private little ritual, if you like, when I walked in the door, and I found myself feeling like a liberty and a freedom and a sense of God on me, and then. You know, would you believe, surprise, surprise, some of the students thought it was okay, so no one walked out. But that's a little bit of a story for me that was quite a lot of years ago, actually. Now, I want to say to you, the nature of revelation, in other words, the prize that we have, that we're God's children, and our birthright is that we can hear from God. Our birthright is he speaks. Our birthright is he says to us, "I'm going to give you someone, another one like me, the Holy Spirit, who will lead you into all truth, who will guide you, who will coach you, who will help you with your life." And those three words have sort of developed and grown, as has my understanding of what I call the who. So for a few minutes, I'm going to bring you something about the who, and this kind of notion. I want to ask you if you were to put yourself in the frame and answer the question, who are you? Who does God say that you are? What would you say? So tonight's going to lay a bit of a foundation and be, for those of you, and it's important to have a sense biblically that what I'm describing is not just like a nice idea, but it actually, I believe, does undergird and can be shown that men and women of God have, throughout the Bible, have actually had similar experiences where God has actually met them and told them who they are. So that's where we're going for a few minutes, right? So who's watched Arndo? Brush with Fame? And I've thought about Arndo as a good example. Can anybody recall how quite often when the when Arndo paints the person, they actually basically say something like this, I'm just fascinated to see what will come out in the picture, what he will see in me. You remember those sort of stories? So I'm putting to you tonight that God sees things in you that you don't see. And really what I'm describing is not just a brush with fame, but it's a brush with the Almighty God who actually is longing to talk to you and reveal to you something of how he has made you. So we're also kind of fresh from Yass, without going into the huge story, but my dad has had, I don't know, he had 20 different pictures that my grandfather painted, who was a portrait painter. And so I'm kind of fresh in this thing that, you know what happens when you get painted? Because I know because my grandfather used to talk about it. It's called sitting, right? If you have to sit for your portrait. And that's a very big clue for how it is that we can discover a bit of who we are. So the who factor. And I might just need... Nick, can you help me? I'm just trying to get this page. I need to view more boxes and I can't actually... You're a genius. Thank you. So becoming his portrait. I'm simply saying to each of us tonight, we are becoming the portrait of how the master artist sees you. And I believe, if I can put it into four key words right now, as what I think is a process that God is doing in all of us, it begins with encounter. What does the word encounter mean? It means some sense of you and me sitting. It's such a powerful metaphor for me, the thought of sitting for a portrait. If you are going to have your picture painted, you have to sit still with the artist. You can't be in another room. You can't be rushing around to work. You can't be watching TV. You actually have to sit. And, you know, one of our mentors, whose name you've probably heard from time to time, Noel Bell, he wrote a book called Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. And encounter, to me, encapsulates the key first step that is true for each of the four stories. I'm quickly going to reference, we won't have time to go into them all, but in each of these stories of other people who have become the portrait that God intended, it begins with in some way meeting God, in some way encountering him, in some way being in his presence, in some way in different forms, slowing down enough and sitting and receiving and listening. So, but here's the big point. In each of the stories that I'm going to refer to, it is actually the revelation of who God is or who Jesus is that is the first step to finding out who I am. It's such a big key. In other words, my identity, I believe it's humanly true. We all are wanting to know who we are. I think that's humanly true. Whether we espouse of faith or whether we don't. I think it's true for most human beings. Would anybody think that's a reasonably fair statement? We all want to know who we are. Now some people will tell you can become who you want to be and you can choose who you want to be. And of course, in a day of a whole range of things that are off track about identity, sexual identity in particular, where society teaches you you can choose who you want to be. That's actually not what I think is the way it works with God. We actually discover who we are when we meet Jesus. And if we go to Peter, I'll just quickly reference a couple of what I think are the key stories. If you want to look into this biblically for some sense of contextualizing what I'm saying and figuring maybe this has got some merit beyond what happened to me at Scott's Head by myself. Peter is that story that I quoted to you when he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." It's in the reference there, Matthew 16, I think it's around about 17. And then Jesus says to him, I need to read it to you. Jesus said to him, "What you have just said," I'll read it to you word for word, because it's completely the definitive text for what we're talking about when we use the word revelation. He said, "Blessed are you," this is verse 17, "Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but it is my Father who is in heaven." So what is the key? The identity that you're longing to have more detail about or to receive, no one can ever tell you this. No other human can tell you this. It can't be revealed by flesh and blood. Yes, it can be revealed in part by the Holy Spirit speaking through other people, and that can be a word of knowledge, and that's, we absolutely bless that. And I think we've been teaching that gift in the last couple of times. However, Jesus is saying, what you have just said can only come one way, and that is this word we're using called revelation. What does revelation mean? It means that there is something supernaturally revealed from the Spirit of God to your spirit. There's no other way to define revelation. And it is such a beautiful, precious thing. It is our lifeblood, family. Hi, family. It's our lifeblood to actually know some sense of the voice of God, to know some sense of, and it's not just voice, but its tone and its heart and its love. It's our lifeblood. And tonight, if you're listening to me and thinking, "Well, David, I'm not even sure that I know what that feels like or is," I want you to know that you can ask for it. And I want you to know there is a prayer you can pray. It's in the book of Ephesians, and it is actually in chapter 1, I think around about verse 18. And it just simply says, that to ask for the spirit of understanding, to ask for revelation. That's what you can do. I'm going to do that right now, Lord, over everyone in the room and over everybody who will listen to this podcast at another time. Lord, in faith, I'll just release that grace for a spirit of understanding. It just in that very language, it is an acknowledgement. This is actually a spiritual thing. It is God's spirit to my spirit, and we can ask for that. We can pray for it. So Jesus recognized in that moment, it was obviously so clear to Jesus, and this is the truth. It's only come one way. But see, when Peter recognized who Jesus is, then Jesus says in verse 18, because of what you have just said, in other words, because you have had some knowledge of who I am, I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So this is my proof text, if you like, if you're looking for something to substantiate the notion that when we understand by revelation who Jesus is, then he can actually help us understand who we are. It's a very key point. So what Jesus says to Peter is basically, you're a rock man. Now, when Jesus said to me, "David, you know, create, communicate, consult," I want to suggest to you, as we look quickly at the stories I'm going to reference, that in each case, God reveals by his Spirit some words that help to define the purpose of the person that he's talking to. In the story of Jeremiah, which I'll just quickly go to because I'm a bit out of order, but if you want to take notes for an Old Testament example, I should say, let me do Isaiah. God says to Isaiah, "You are a rod of iron." can you hear what I believe God does when we ask him who we are. He gives us word pictures or descriptors that are specific. We have done this teaching maybe once or twice in the Hive story. I think Jew might have been around. I know Lil has been. With Lil, it was 3 or 4 months, maybe even 6 months. And, you know, God would give Lil one word after 1 month, 6 weeks. And she'd ring me and say, David, guess what? I've got one of my words. And then after another month, God would speak again. And see, the integrity of this pursuit is you know when God has spoken. And you know when he has not yet spoken. And that doesn't mean you give up, but it simply means you keep on waiting and you keep on, like a portrait, you go back and sit. I know because I've heard my dad talk about it, that the people used to come to my dad's house in Pymble, right, to sit for portraits. And they had to be very patient. It's a really hard thing to sit still. and this is the truth. God's inviting all of us to sit still. And if it takes a month or 2 months or 3 months, that doesn't matter. God is faithful. He will reveal to you some of who you are. So in the book of Isaiah, which I think I've got it on to that slide, it's one of the proof testimonies that I suggest demonstrates God is painting, wants to paint your portrait. He says to Isaiah, it's this same kind of notion. He said, God, verse 5, the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant. I think one of Isaiah's words would be servant. It's a capital S, actually. And then he says, to bring back Jacob to him. Where did I read it? Here it is. And he has made me a polished shaft. I think if I can construct Isaiah's story, God revealed to him, you're going to be like a polished shaft. That means like a spear handle or something like that. The reason I'm quoting this as an example is because God's going to say something to you that is specific to you and customized to you, and it'll be language about you. And when he says it, you're going to say, wow, that's so right. I can feel it. What does it mean to be a polished shaft? Well, that was Isaiah's problem. God said it to him, but he knew what it actually meant. If we go to the story of Nathanael, this is a beautiful story. Jesus meets Nathanael. I'm quoting this one because it is such a beautiful principle of how much Jesus loves you and wants to paint your portrait. He says, it's a really interesting story because Jesus sees Nathanael in chapter 1 and Nathanael said to him, because in fact Jesus says to him in verse 47, behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. In verse 48 of chapter 1 of John, Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Now this is such a key point. God knows you. He knows you. He formed you. He knows you. He's named you. And he sees you. Just in the last 3 or 4 days, I've been challenged in my own heart to be even more purposeful in remembering people's names. And the thing that the Holy Spirit's reminded me of, the number of references in the Bible where it will say, I know you by name. And I think, wow, that's the heart of God, to know us by name. How meaningful is it when someone remembers your name? This is not just a technique. It's not just a memory game that you can play, which we've all probably, you know, because I've been in sales, you get taught, you know, you word association, or you can, you know, various ways. But I believe there's a grace and an anointing from the Holy Spirit that we can desire as we desire to become like God and become like Jesus, to know names. Why? Because that's actually who God is. For me, that's a whole other level of meaning to, but God knows your name. In each of these stories, God knew Nathanael. And then he says, before I called you, I saw you. There's a fascinating thing going on with this Nathanael story. We won't go into it for time, but Nathanael realizes it's like a word of knowledge. He's describing me right now. And because he knows that God knows him and saw Jesus knows him and saw him, in verse 49, Nathanael says, "Rabbi, you're the Son of God." Now, what's going on here? It's exactly the same as Peter, who had that revelation, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then, because Nathanael, based on Nathanael feeling like, "Jesus, you know me," and then Nathanael saying back to Jesus, "This is who you are," then Jesus tells Nathanael more of who he is. Can you see how revelation is a compounding, building, reciprocal process? What does that tell me? The more I get to know who God is, the more I get to know who I am. And then the more I get to know who Jesus is, the more I get to know who I am. And this becomes a beautiful, strengthening thing that happens in our own hearts. Because then Nathanael gets told, Nathanael, verse 49 says, "You are the Son of God." And then Jesus said, "Well, because I said to you, I saw you, do you believe?" And then he says, "You'll see greater things than these." And then he says in verse 51, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." What is Nathanael's who? Well, he's a seer. He's a seer into the spiritual realm. He's a man who has been told, "Your portrait is that you are going to have authority to bring down heaven to earth." Can you see how beautifully this works? There's one more, Jeremiah. What time is it? Okay, I'll be quick, because this is a once again it's a passage I believe is worth you going back to. But Jeremiah 1 verse 4 says this: "Then the word of the Lord came to me." What is that? That's encounter. That is, I'm in the spirit and I can feel God speaking, and I just know he's saying stuff. That it's in those moments you need to have your journal open and your pen ready, and or you get your phone out and you make a voice note. Then he says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." So beautiful reassurance to everybody in the room. God formed you. He knew you before he formed you. "Before you were born, I sanctified you," or "I set you apart," the scripture says. And then it says, "I ordained you a prophet to the nations." So what was Jeremiah's who? It was a prophet to the nations. It was high-level prophet. So here's the thing. There's my grandfather, and that's a self-portrait. And that's him at work, and that's his easel, obviously, and his brushes. Big pun. The worst? Oh, the words? The words? Okay. The reference. Yeah, the words. There you go. Chapter 1, verse 4-5. Thank you. And. And then that's my granddad, and that's just to build a... Sorry, Nick, can you help me again? I think I need to just go down the page a bit. I should use the mouse. I don't know how to... There we go. So look, to sum up, there's an invitation tonight to sit with the Master. Mm-hmm. There's an invitation tonight to confess. The word confess simply means to speak with your mouth. The extent of the revelation that you have for who Jesus is and who God is, say it back to the Master. Confess with your mouth who he is. I've done that point twice. Then there's an invitation to listen to who he says you are. Listen without filter. Listen without doubt in your heart. Simply receive it. Remember, he formed you, he knows you, he's named you, and he sees you. it's such a beautiful thing right now to be known that you're, to know that you are seen. If you, God is a God who sees, it's one of his names. Look up the story of Hagar, who you may know was the mother of Ishmael, had a child to Abraham. Abraham's wife got cranky, kicked her out. And then she goes into the desert and she's got her son and she thinks she's going to die and there's no water. The angel of the Lord turns up and reminds her, I am a God who sees. It's a beautiful thing. God sees you right now. He sees you, he formed you, he knows you, and he has named you. So, question, Holy Spirit, who do you say I am? You might say, well, David, why do you have the terminology Holy Spirit? Could you pray that to God or Jesus? Yes, you can. I'm putting Holy Spirit there because Jesus taught, when I go, and we know from Scripture, he's at the right hand of the Father, when I go, I will send another like me who will be with you, who will be your comforter. So why would we not talk to the one who is right here? Can we talk? Yes, we can talk to Jesus and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father, they're one, right? And they work together and Jesus won't be cranky if you pray to him. But I've just put it there because I think we can pray a prayer to the Holy Spirit. One more time, Nick. I think I've got all the slides now and we're going to wrap up. But is there any more? Oh, there we go. So becoming his portrait. Why? Because God can't anoint who you're not. But as you get to know who he's made you, he can anoint who you are. That's why I could say at the doorway, I'm not a lecturer, but I am called to create and communicate. And that's when the anointing comes. What is anointing? That's the empowering. That's the Holy Spirit. Why would you want to become his portrait? Because it gives boldness and security. Why would you not want more boldness and security? That is a boldness in Jesus. It's an inner godly confidence. Why would we want to become his portrait? Because it gives us focus. It actually helps us to be really clear. This is who I am. This is what I'm on the earth for. In Jesus' mighty name. Over to you, Evie, to wrap up.
Well, I hope you've all caught that and we'll pick up the challenge. Because it is very liberating. It is when I first, so you'll all hear differently and different times, different ways. Some people will be just driving in their car and they'll hear. But for me, I used to go to a place called Swells, which is in Newcastle, right on the beach. I loved it. I used to have my coffee and read my Bible in those days. And anyway, I felt the Holy Spirit say, I want to show you your who. Read Luke. So I was very expectant, you know. I thought, no, he's going to show me. Oh, I reckon he will. So I just kept reading. The first story I came, and I knew as soon as I came across a certain thing, I knew. The first one was a lamp on a lampstand for the world to see. And he said, that's you. You are that lamp, that light, that person that comes into a room and will be seen. Not because I'm asking to be seen, it's who I am. And the second thing was, the story of the man with his friend needing food and he knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked. And the Holy Spirit says, that's you. You are bold. It's a boldness that can go into people's hearts where nobody else can go. And then the third thing was at the end of the book that I've got the arm of God, the supernatural arm of God for healing. And I knew without a doubt, I had no doubts whatsoever. That has helped me to know without a doubt that that's how God's made me. And it doesn't matter if somebody says, oh, look at you, you're so bright. I say, yeah, isn't that fantastic? Do you know what I mean? It's given me a confidence to be able to be who I am, who God's made me. And and there's no need to compete with anybody, that you don't need a platform. It's for every minute of every single day. And so go for it. Really have a sitting. You might need a few sittings. But the Holy Spirit's faithful and he will turn up and he will show you. So thanks a million, Dar.